Hello, everybody, and welcome to another CD of the month. Last conversation we had on CD of the month was with the eminently intelligent Matt Jones, and we got his equally intelligent business partner, Ben Abbott, on this month's CD of the month. We're still talking about video. Last month we talked with Matt about why you should be using video to connect with your customers, whether it be generating leads or sending out product or just keeping in touch with them. Video is really becoming the most used way to search for things, and that it seems to be the number one media, I guess, that people go to find information. YouTube is the second biggest search engine on the planet, and you talk to people and they're always whizzing videos around here and there, and video is also one of the best ways now to increase your search engine optimization so your website can be found more readily. So it's really important. So we talked with Matt about the why. In this recording, on this CD of the month, we're going to be talking to Ben about the how, and talk to a lot of people about doing videos. I mean, apart from the little bit of the public speaking fear kicking in as soon as you put a camera on, it's really not that difficult, and most people now with their computer, with their smartphone, they've got everything that they need in the palm of their hand almost to create some pretty cool videos. So in this CD, we're going to be exploring the how-tos of that so you can get stuck into creating high-quality videos to start to generate leads for your business and really have people tap into your information and for you to be able to go out and connect more often with value to your customers. So let me welcome Mr. Ben Abbott to the call. How are you going, Ben?
Very well, mate. Very well. Hell of an intro. That was great. Except you did call Matt intelligent. I have to call you on that one.
Well, I was going to say, but I won't, that you know, Matt has very much, he's got the DJ voice, which is fortunate if you've ever seen a photo of him.
His face for radio.
That sort of thing. We're only joking, Matt. I know you'll hear this. We love you. As always, with our CD of the month, we like to find out a little bit about who we're talking to, who we're listening to. So tell us a little bit about your story and whatever possessed you to get involved in video and the like.
No worries at all. Yeah, what was I thinking exactly? I guess I grew up with a bit of a passion for video and television and film. My father worked in TV for many, many years for a whole range of different organisations, including his own production company in New South Wales for a long time. And so I always had a bit of a passion for it. But straight out of school, went to TAFE, North Sydney TAFE, studied film and television production, and then worked on the ever popular Big Brother, Brother Series 1, which was, I'll be honest, for a 19-year-old kid, was a hell of a lot of fun. In hindsight, it's not something that I tell a lot of people about necessarily. Well, obviously, up until today. But, it was good fun and a good sort of, training for all aspects of television, because working for a company like that, you tend to become a bit of a jack of all trades. So, from there, pretty much got into making TV commercials and, a couple of sort of short projects and things like that. And then that's moved into the world of animation and explainer videos, which is where we find ourselves these days.
And you might as well let people know that you're actually, you and Matt are award winners as well from, Grew and Sweat, won an award from the TV show, Grew and Sweat.
Yeah, that's right. We had to put together a commercial. I don't know if you've seen it, but
It's hilarious.
Tasmania for the Olympics. I think the 2024 Olympics and the bid, and that was with the agency Red Jelly, who went along for the shoot, and we of course did all the animation, and it was really quite nice. We won unanimously.
Say that 10 times really fast.
Yeah. Exactly. But and we also, you know, got a nice note from Andrew Denton, the production company boss, saying that he thought it was in the top three that he's seen on the pitch, which is the segment it was in. So yeah, lovely sort of kudos there, and that's been a really good thing to get our name out there and be a good example of what we can do with animation and video.
Absolutely. So let's get started with a bit of how to, and I guess allay the fears of the people listening, because I think, you know, even with your intro, you know, worked with the big TV stations, worked on Big Brother, did TV commercials, you obviously know what you're doing, and that's all well and good for you. But what about me, who's the technophobe, and, you know, all I've got is a point and shoot camera, that sort of thing. How hard is it to create a good quality video, and what are some of the things that we need to just get started?
Yeah, well, good question, really, and I completely understand what you mean. I mean, the idea of being in front of the camera for anybody, and whether or not I've got a background in television or anything, doesn't change the fact that as soon as you switch that camera on, stage fright sets in, and it's an immensely difficult thing to do for anybody. So if you're worried about it, you're not alone. The good news is, I guess, that the fundamentals, the principles of making a video are pretty simple. It doesn't have to be the most high-tech, amazing gear in the world. It can be very simple sort of setup, but as long as you sort of check off a few basic rules, you're pretty much confident that you're going to have a video that will start to become effective. And as you just practice, like anything with your craft, you've just got to practice, try things, and you know, you'll slowly get better and better and more engaging and get a far better response from your videos.
Mm. Now, there's probably a number of different types of videos, so it'd be great to go through the ways that we can shoot video. And I expect that the majority of people, as soon as you start to talk about video, are thinking, I've got to be on camera. So that's not necessarily the case. You can make some pretty good videos. In fact, a lot of testing is revealing that different types of video that aren't necessarily what we might call head to camera are performing better as far as sales videos and getting people engaged. In fact, Explainer Videos, that's the company that you and Matt own and run, very rarely is an explainer video anything that has a person on it. It's predominantly animation. So what other types of videos, just to get people started, if they're a bit worried about standing in front of a camera, even if it's only the size of their iPhone, how could they do it so they can get past this stage fright?
No worries. Well, look, the fundamental thing, and we take the same approach when it comes to an explainer video, no matter what the budget, no matter what, you know, who we're working with, whoever the client is, it's the same approach. You have to come up with a message first. So the first thing to do is work on your script, work out what it is that you want to say, and then after you've fine-tuned that and you've worked out exactly what your message is, you then work out the best way to get that across. And as you say, in some cases, it might be the fact that you want to put yourself in front of a camera, but we're, for the most part, we're finding that anything ranging from a screen flow capture, you know, if you're talking about a subject that is actually on your computer screen, there's a lot of software, a lot of it free out there that you can record your screen, record a voiceover as you go, and make have a really nice little video which is showing how to use your website or your application or that sort of thing. You can even have simple slideshows. I mean, everybody can has used PowerPoint at some point in their life, and you can put together some simple slides. You put a voiceover together and just have the corresponding information or visuals on screen to back up, you know, what you're saying or what the viewer is hearing, and you'll find that that's a lovely little engaging video. There are a lot of just, you know, different ways that you can do this. As far as animation goes, you know, not every video has to be a full blown character animation with story and everything. We've done a lot of videos where it's almost a stop animation style. We actually, you know, set up the camera, cut out, you know, write the message down on pieces of paper, cut them out into individual pieces, and then as the voiceover's playing, you know, we just shift the little pieces on screen, and you know, you end up with a really cute little nice video telling a little story. So, you know, there's any number of ways that you can do this thing. It just all comes down to working out what your message is, and then working out how the best way to get that message across will be done.
So to get started, if what I'm hearing you say is correct, you could fundamentally just get a slideshow, if you like, from PowerPoint, and as if you were doing a live presentation, and you could just sit in front of your computer, record your voice, and talk about the dot points on your screen. Or I have even seen and done some myself where you've actually got your script and you break it up into paragraphs, if you like, and make each paragraph a slide, and you're fundamentally sitting in front of your computer reading what's on the screen. And a lot of testing is coming back to say that those videos are very, very powerful as far as a sales video or getting people to take action. And, you know, you probably wouldn't think it just listening to what we're saying, that you're reading the words on the video, like assuming that you're the viewer, reading the words on the your computer screen and having somebody speak those words at the same time. You wouldn't think that's very engaging, but the research is saying something very different. So that would be one way to get started, I guess.
Exactly right. And look, I haven't got the exact number on me. There's stats all over the net, though, to back up this sort of information. But by seeing and hearing information, I can't remember the exact number, but there's a huge amount more retention of that info. So if you want to get a message across just by seeing it while they're hearing it, you're already on your way to being far more engaging than just a plain text website.
Mm. And that's, you know, if you do have a little bit of stage fright, that seems to me like a very good way, a very effective way of getting started to create video. So you basically can just get a USB headset, or it might be good for you to let us know as we go through each different type of a way to create a video what equipment you might need to get started. So you were talking about screen capture. A lot of people don't know what screen capture is, so perhaps you can help us understand what screen capture is and what the various options are, and what you might need to create, say, a reading off the screen type video, as we've just been talking about with a PowerPoint.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I mean, you know, it's as far as you want to take it, really. I mean, the very simple thing you can do to start with is, say, anybody who has an iPhone or an iPad and has received a set of headphones which has the little microphone built into them, mm-hmm. already that's better than just recording straight into your computer.
Yep.
You know, just for the fact that microphone's going to be close to you. You can plug it in, your computer will automatically detect, the settings, and as soon as you record something, it's going to, already be better quality. Personally, I use a USB microphone. I think I paid about $90 for mine, which, is not really very much when you think about it. It's a proper condenser, studio microphone, and plugs straight into the USB plug of the computer, and again, all sort of gets picked up automatically, and then as soon as you're actually recording, you can get a pretty decent sound out of your microphone. Now, as far as capturing the screen goes, it's as simple as anybody using, say, a Mac computer can use QuickTime. You can just jump into QuickTime, go up to your file menu, and there's a new screen recording option. But there's a whole bunch of different programs available, like ScreenFlow, for example. I think I've heard that you've used that before, Mick.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm sure there's equivalent on PC. I'm a Mac man, sadly, myself. But
say it proudly.
Yeah, sorry, I'm a Mac man. I hold that banner, nice and high. But look, I'm sure that there are programs for PC as well, very inexpensive programs. All you have to do is a little bit of a Google search to find screen capture. Simple as that, screen capture program, and you're going to find something that's going to let you, either record the whole screen, as you're sort of, going through your website or going through your slides, or you can even just, tell it to select a certain part of the screen so that it's only capturing the information that you want people to see. So that's probably the first step is, as I say, even if you've just got a headset at home, from a iPhone or an iPad and some simple software like that, and you could pretty much start creating videos straight away.
Okay. So that would be one way to start. So we've got the PowerPoint, we've literally got our script up on the screen, and we're basically reading it as we're changing the slides and using some screen capture software like Camtasia Studio for PC, or I think you mentioned ScreenFlow, and another one I know of for PC. Oh, sorry, for Mac, but I think it might be for PC as well. You can get a version for each. Is a program called Snagit.
Snag it. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Look. And that's pretty cool because there's a few other things you can do with that as well, such as grab pictures off your screen, just bits and change them. And it's a pretty cool, easy to use little graphics package as well, I've found. So that's have a look at that. So that's one way we could do it. Obviously, the other way is just using a PowerPoint with just dot points and you sort of raving on each dot point and just having a conversation, if you like, into the microphone. That's a similar way. But if we want to get started and challenge ourselves to actually put our head on the camera, and there are times, as we talked about with Matt, where it is really valuable to have your face on a video because people know who you are. And in fact, just before we pressed the go button, you were talking about a company called Wistia, and we'll talk about them in a little while. They host videos. But you mentioned something about an email you received and you related it back to somebody you saw on the video and how that made you feel. So tell that story.
Yeah, exactly. Look, we use a company called Wistia. As you say, we can talk about that pretty soon. They're a video hosting company, much like YouTube and these sort of people. But we use them to host a lot of our videos. And I recently sent to their support email address. I had an issue that I needed dealing with. And look, these guys are very, very good at video marketing. You know, every sort of few days you receive a video in your inbox, and they've got a really, really nice approach. It gives you a sense of who the team are, and you get to know them by name. They're always got their heads on camera. They're always entertaining and always engaging. And now when I sent off this support note, the reply I got was from Jeff, and Jeff was one of the guys that you see in these videos every couple of days. And, he answered, obviously, whether it was Jeff in real life or not, who knows, but it's just the fact that, I received a reply from someone that I've seen and I've already got sort of a rapport going with. And the reply, of course, was quite personal, and it was quite nice. So it wasn't a generic, yes, thank you for your message, we'll get back to you soon kind of thing. And so it just gave me a really sort of, you deal with support from a whole range of different companies all the time. And this is the first time that I really sort of felt like they were actually, I was talking to a real person. Mm. And I'm sort of sitting here quietly confident that, they're going to address my issue. And I'm almost more likely to give them extra time or not be in a huff about it, because at the end of the day, we've already started to develop this rapport, even if it's only just through a one-way medium like video. So, I feel like I know him.
Yeah. Now, they are video marketers. But, and I think you put me onto them some time ago when we were talking about them, and I've been receiving their videos, and they're just little touch point videos. We talk about touch points in marketing where it's good to send somebody out, something out, whether it be an email, a video, something through the post, whatever it is, a phone call, a fax, that sort of thing. Pigeon with a note tied to its leg, whatever it is, and communicate with your clients or potential clients, your prospects, just to stay in touch. And they do it very well. And I think it would be worthwhile getting your take on what they do on video. What makes their videos so good as far as being engaging? And it might be worthwhile to mention how difficult it would be to make some of their videos, because I don't think it would be that difficult to make some of their videos. But they're incredibly engaging, which is what Explainer Videos, your company, talks about all of the time. That's the secret to video, is to ensure that you get the viewer engaged quickly and keep them engaged, which is what Wistia do. They give you the ability to see who is watching your video and where they switch it off and where they maybe repeat and watch it again and where you're losing them and so forth. But tell us about their videos and what makes them so fun and engaging for a start.
Sure. Well, look, I think first and foremost, if I'm thinking about the process from receiving an email from them right through to watching the whole thing, I would start off by saying the thumbnail. First of all, their emails arrive. They're so simple. Their emails aren't, a page long. They're a headline. I think they call them afternoon chunks, or you know, video bites. I think that's it. And basically, they just have a single thumbnail, which is, you know, bright, colourful, and engaging, and it gives me an idea of what I'm going to get if I click on that button. So you know, I'm not sort of clicking on the unknown. I you know, I can pretty much very quickly, straight away from the subject line and this thumbnail, I can tell what I'm about to get. Secondly, they load very quickly, which is another, you know, advantage of using a service like Wistia, is that they you know, they work very hard behind the scenes on making sure that no matter what a person's internet connection or speed is, you know, it assesses that straight away and then delivers the right size and the right quality video based on those results. So pretty much you're into the video straight away. Then they say in video you've got about 5 to 10 seconds. I'd probably say 5 at most to get someone's attention. So the first 5 seconds of the video is entertaining. It's engaging. It's something that is going to make me want to continue on and find out what's about to happen. It could be silly. It can be funny, stupid, whatever it is. It's just something that is that little hook, that little carrot at the start of the video that makes you want to keep watching. And then first and foremost, they're short and snappy. I think the stats Matt might have talked about this last week is about 54 seconds. They've worked out is your attention span will last about 54 seconds. Now, we all know videos can last a lot longer and sales videos can last a lot longer if the viewer is engaged and this is information that they want to get. But if we're talking about these little touch point videos, I'm a firm believer that shorter and sweeter, the better, because basically I'm sitting here, as we all are, with a busy day, mountain of emails, and if I know that by clicking on this video it's only going to take up a minute of my time, but it's going to give me some great, solid information, little touch point I can be marketed to, but it's not offending me, it's not taking me away from things I have to do during the day, and it's giving me a little smile on my face, then of course I'm going to be engaged with it. So I think that's really important, short and sweet, and you know, just keep the whole thing moving along nicely and keep it engaging.
Yeah, and I know just from that, part of the secret of being able to get your message out to your people is having them want to actually open your message or open your email or watch your video. And I know that you're the same as me. Ever since we've been using Wistia to host video, every time they send a video, I will open it, you know, and I'm actually excited to watch it, which is, I guess, very rare as far as internet marketing and email marketing and messages go. Is you go, oh look, there's an email from Wistia. I'll open that and I'll look at it. And
I'm exactly the same. I mean, the first thing I do in the morning is, you know, when I check my emails or I look at my phone in the morning, and I've received a dozen different marketing messages overnight from a range of different products that I'm sure I've signed up for over the last
but I can't remember.
And I can never be bothered to unsubscribe from them.
Yeah.
But I have the exact same feeling. I actually really enjoy it when I see a Wistia video come in. And I'm sitting there on my phone. I'll click play. As I say, it'll load up the correct video, the correct resolution for my phone. So it'll start playing instantly. And I, you know, I'll be lying in bed half the time and I'll watch a Wistia video. So, you know, as far as marketing goes and these
touch points, too much information there.
I think that, yes. I won't go into these details. Thank goodness this is just voice. But I, I think they're doing it right at the end of the day. As you say, there's a lot of people that are marketing and you get hit with a lot of messages during the day. And so it's important to do it right. And I think these guys really, hit the nail on the head.
And the reason that I brought the subject up in the first place is because for the most part, they are head to camera videos. So it's sort of a, you know, an upper body shot, directly looking into the camera. And I wanted to start the conversation heading in that direction. What does the person out there listening to this need to just get started to create a pretty reasonable quality video? What bit of gear do they need, and then we can start to talk about, you know, setup and maybe a bit of lighting or whatever just to make sure it looks okay. Yep.
Definitely. Well, look, I mean, the first level of video, all you need is a computer with a webcam. As I say, perhaps, you know, I'd advise using some sort of microphone, even if it is just a microphone on a headset that you got for free with your iPhone, and a window. It's pretty much as simple as that. The simplest setup that I would that I would talk about is sitting up near a window so that you've got some nice natural light on your face. You know, there's nothing worse than seeing a video that's recorded with someone standing in front of a window and it's bright behind them and they're all, you know, dark and you can barely see what's going on. But yeah, so that's the simplest form, really. You sit by a window, get some nice natural light on your face, record with a separate microphone just so at least it's close to your body. And you know, software, like, I mean, if you're on a Mac, for example, you go down to your dock bar and there's a program called Photo Booth, and that's just, you know, straight away will enable your webcam and you can pretty much start going straight away. And the best part too is that your webcam sits at the top of the screen. So if you're a bit worried about, you know, what you're going to say, you can write it up on a document, have it sitting on the screen under you, and just, you know, even if it's dot points or whether it's a full script, you can refer to it while you're delivering to the camera. So it's, yeah, pretty much the simplest setup, and then we can start to go up from there.
Yep. So that's another question that I get asked a little bit about some of the videos that I do, and that is, you know, how come you can, unlike what I'm doing now, how come you don't stammer and stutter and lose your way? And I use a thing called a teleprompter, similar to what they use in the news. Tell us about how we could use one of those. What do they do? How could we, you know, do we need to spend $25,000 on one, or are there other options?
Absolutely. Well, look, the simplest thing too with a teleprompter is that they've come down to a consumer level now where you can buy them for iPad. And I believe, do you have one of these, Mick?
I have an iPad one, but just we might step it back a step and just explain what a teleprompter does first.
Absolutely. Well, basically, a teleprompter is a piece of glass. So a piece of glass that sits in front of the camera shoots through the glass. So obviously the camera isn't picking up the glass being see-through, but it actually just reflects your script from, you know, a source like an iPad or a screen that's lying on, you know, under it. So essentially you're looking straight down the barrel of the camera. Your eyes aren't leaving the lens, but you're able to just read like you're reading off a piece of paper. So, you know, super handy if you want to obviously just be able to fly through a script without making a mistake. And as I say, you know, really quite inexpensive now. And, you know, something that I know I was talking to you before, I've heard of people even using CD cases. If you've got a CD case lying around, you know, one of those old jewel cases,
yes,
people even set them up where they've written down some points on a card. And, you know, and lay them down on a CD case, shot through the back of the case, and you know, and essentially they're doing the same sort of job. Obviously, there are going to be limitations with something like that, but really, that's how simple it can become.
Yeah, and you can. I think I've seen the one that I use, folks, just for your edification, is a what's the name of it? You were telling me the name of it.
Prompt It. I think.
Can't remember the name of it. It's a little thing called Prompt It, and it's just basically a piece of flat plastic, if you like, that the iPad sits in with the screen going up, facing up to the ceiling, if you could imagine that. And then there's a piece of glass that slots in at the back of that, and it comes up at a 45-degree angle, and it's what they call split lens glass, which is actually pretty important, because I noticed in the past I've mucked around creating a teleprompter myself and just used normal glass, and you actually get a reflection off the front edge of the glass and the back edge of the glass, so you get a double effect. Makes it a little bit difficult to read. So this split lens glass that comes in the kit, it's got a piece of black material that goes over the camera as well, so you can't actually see anything behind the glass. All you're looking at, it looks like just a piece of glass, and with your iPad, you can get some free software that you can type your script in or import your script into the iPad, and it will mirror it, because obviously if it's reflecting off the glass, it's going to be back to front. So the iPad will automatically mirror or make it back to front. So as it's reflecting off the glass, it will be the right way around, and it will also scroll it as well. So you can work out how quickly you need to read this, and the iPad will scroll the script up in front of you. And you can even get a remote control for it now. You can use your iPhone or an iPod Touch or whatever. And you can create a remote control for it, so it's pretty pretty nifty and neat.
Yeah, they are handy bits of gear. And it's probably worth mentioning, Mick, too. Sorry to butt in there, but I'm just a good example, too, because we are talking about, I mean, that is a very simple way to get a teleprompter going. But, it just occurred to me, I'm thinking, well, if you want to take it even just a step backwards, I mean, we have a video on our website, explainervideos.com.au, which is myself delivering to camera about our 7 killer tips to how do you make an explainer video. And if you watch that through, it appears as if I've just done it all in one hit, probably using a teleprompter or something like that.
But used smoke and mirrors and you didn't really.
Exactly right. I pretty much just did them, in short paragraphs. So all I did was had a script in front of me, hit go on the camera, hit record, and then just did paragraph by paragraph. I just sit there and read it, say it over in my head a few times, deliver it to camera until I felt like I got it right, and just kept going. And then basically, as I got in between paragraphs, I just brought up a slide on screen, which was, essentially a heading or, a little bit of information about what I was talking about, and just used it as to hide the cut. So at the end of the day, people have watched that and told me that, they're amazed at the fact that they think I can get through it all in one hit. But, it took me, I probably recorded for about 25 minutes.
So now you've revealed that you're not actually that amazing.
Oh, exactly right. Look, it's all smoke and mirrors. But
that's right, folks. Really, he puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else.
Exactly. But even if you're using, a simple editing program, I mean, the slides on that video, come on and off screen sort of from the sides and things, but it can be as simple as just cutting to a solid color background with a bit of text on it. It's just going to hide those little cuts and make the video look nice and professional and make you look like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So let's just talk about the equipment, and we'll start off very basic, and then we might sort of, if people really want to get into a little bit more of a higher quality video, if you like, we can talk about where you can end up. And even at the top end now, it's so inexpensive compared to what it used to be when I first started to mess around with video and record our presentations and so forth. You can get incredibly high quality stuff from very inexpensive equipment now. But let's just talk about the camera, and then we can talk about audio in a minute. Where can we start with the camera? So there are tons of types of cameras around, and obviously the first place we could start is with our smartphone.
Definitely. I mean, the iPhone or the Android phone in your pocket is going to be the first place I would start. I mean, the iPhone camera, for example, it shoots HD. It's, as long as you've got the right surroundings, the right setup, you're going to get a fantastic result from that. In fact, we ask a lot of our clients to shoot their testimonials on their iPhone because it's the best way we've found to be able to capture it at a decent quality. So really, that would be the first step I would look at. And if you wanted to go up from there and have a bit of a proper setup, and we're talking about teleprompters and things, so perhaps a camera that you're going to put on a tripod, I would look at any, really, these consumer cameras that you can get at the moment, the little Canons or Sonys. I know I just recently bought an NX5, which is a few hundred dollars. And, these things record full HD and allow you to plug in an external mic as well for audio. So, you don't have to go and buy $1,000, $2,000 DSLR camera to get some really decent quality.
Mm. Yeah, well, you better not let certain people hear that.
Yeah,
I need to edit that out because the reason that I bought an expensive DSLR camera was because it was necessary.
Okay.
Ben.
Beg your pardon.
But having said that, you were, just before we got on the call, you said you saw me on a blog post on a paddleboard.
That's right.
I've just recently uploaded a blog post talking about.
Was it bad that I was secretly hoping you'd fall off?
No. Well, I was only in knee deep water.
But it would have been funny.
But that whole thing was a $175 little digital still camera that takes video, but it takes high definition video. And for $175, it's like shockproof. You can go underwater down to 5 meters or something crazy. So it's something that I just always have in the bag. And, whenever the mood hits and I think that there's something good to put on a video or a blog, you can set it up. I didn't use any external mic. It's actually the mic on the camera. When you do that, you have to get up fairly close to make it sound good. But for $175, you can carry it anywhere with you, and you know, a little tripod, or you can get a thing called a gorilla pod or something that the arms bend around.
Yep.
And you can attach it to a tree limb or a fence post or anything. It's just quite amazing, and the whole thing, you know, is probably $180 or $190, and it's really, really high quality. So we can go from, as you say, your phone up to one of those, up to a digital SLR. What's the advantage of if you get starting to get serious about taking some, you know, good head to camera videos? What's the advantage of getting, you know, spending $1,500, $2,000 on a digital SLR?
Well, I mean, I guess the the question is, what's the advantage? I guess really, the first thing I'd say is there's no advantage unless you do a couple of hear me out. What I'm saying is there's no advantage unless you do some of the right things around that. Uh-huh. So I mean, a DSLR camera is going to look better than $175 point and shoot camera.
Yeah.
It's because you're able to put decent quality lenses in front of them. I mean, the glass that's in front of a camera is more important than the camera half the time if you're looking at quality. The actual resolution, and we can go into the details about the sensors that are in these things, they're actually going to be a better quality camera. But I guess what I meant by saying there's no advantage unless you do these other things is that you can get a $2,000 camera, but if you don't, if you shoot in low light, if you shoot in a situation that's not going to be, not going to be optimal, you're going to get the same results or poor results as you would with any camera. So there are huge advantages to having a decent camera like that, but you've just got to make sure that you're actually doing these fundamental things to take advantage of that quality, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess the first and foremost thing, we can, as I say, we can go into detail about the, you know, what we do and the difference in the cameras, but I would just say it's whatever camera or whatever setup is actually going to make you do it. Has to be simple. It has to be something. I mean, we're lucky because we have the gear, because we work in video. So we've got the gear. Why wouldn't we use it? And we've got a semi-permanent setup where when we want to send out a marketing message, I can walk into another room, flick the lights on, flick the recorder and the camera on, and I'm recording within 5 minutes, so even less than that. But, you know, the Gorilla Pod that you're talking about, you can get these that will hold your iPhone. So at the end of the day, if it's actually going to make you get in front of the camera, click record, and send out a video and a message, go down that path. Go down whatever path is actually going to make you do it, because I think that's, you know, if you buy the best gear in the world, but that sets up a roadblock, you know, between you and actually putting out this sort of this content, then I think you're wasting your money.
Yeah. Now, I just want your opinion on this. Somebody very wise once told me that the secret to an engaging video, obviously other than the content, if we're just talking about from a technical point of view, is the audio. And I know that I've listened to many videos over the years, and sometimes I just need to switch them off. I can't listen to them because there's that much background noise, you almost can't hear what they're saying, or that just the quality of it is just so bad and it's distorting and peaking all over the place. So I think that my opinion is that if the vision isn't the best, that's one thing, but get the audio right. Where do you stand on that? Please agree with me.
Yeah, I do. I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's such a pity that so many videos that are full of amazing content are dismissed because, as you say, I'm the same. You click play, it's hissy, it's horrible, you can barely hear them. It feels like they're at the back of the room and the camera's at the other side because you just can't, you know, you can't engage with it. Unfortunately, it becomes a distraction to a video which otherwise might be filled with amazing content. So I think that, I'd probably agree with you in saying that it's actually more important to at least have the audio right. The vision, obviously, we do the best we can with it. But, if you can get your audio right and you can get a decent result out of that, you're three quarters of the way to having, you know, someone actually persevere and watch your whole video, which is ultimately what we want.
Yeah.
As I say, there's, you know, different levels of how you can do that, going from an old microphone on a set of earphones, or as I say, if you're plugging a microphone into an external recorder. I've got one called a Zoom H1 recorder, mm-hmm. and if you Google that thing, you'll find them for less than $100. And these things are, they've got fantastic microphones even built into them, or you can plug an external mic in as well if you really want to step up the quality. But the nice thing is that something like that, you actually, you can sit away from the camera. It doesn't matter about the camera because you just click record on this thing and you put it near you, whether it's in your top pocket or whether it's on the table in front of you. And, at the start of your video, it's simple. You clap in the air. So you turn, the camera and the recorder on, you clap in the air, and then you're able to synchronize that, very simply. Most of the software that you edit with will do that automatically for you. And it means that you can, you can edit your video knowing that you're going to have some pretty decent audio.
Yeah. And so, but if we're going to keep it simple, if you like, and have the audio already on the video, what sort of things or external mics might we be able to get started with? I'm even thinking that if you're just using your iPhone for a camera, is there such a thing? I know years ago I had a little, what they call a lavalier microphone, or most people would know it as a little tie clip microphone that had quite a long lead on it that I could plug into a camera. Perhaps you could use something like that and plug it into your iPhone so you can get a little bit away from it but still get that sound like you've got a mic close to you, which I think is super important to make the video enjoyable to watch.
Absolutely. And look, I was only looking the other day at a website with a bunch of products called, I think there's the iRig and the iMic and a couple of things like that, which you can search for. And basically, these are mics that will plug directly into the bottom of your iPhone or your iPad and essentially record high quality audio straight into your video. So these things are available. I was looking at one that was about $30, and that includes the actual microphone. So You sit that thing on a stand, on the desk in front of you, and you're right as rain.
So your dog gets pretty excited about video and talking about video as well.
Exactly. I've just had three dogs run into the room. So you'll have to excuse me. they'll star in our next video.
Yes, we are live, folks. And I said to you, just you say whatever you like because I'm not going to edit this.
Because
<That's> right. You wanted to swear, You're bad.
Exactly. I've held it together pretty well.
I'm very, very impressed. So there's that sort of thing. I'm not sure whether it's worth talking about shotgun mics. We might be getting a little bit too out there with that, but
I'd be happy to. It's probably we could talk about this until we're blue in the face, but at the end of the day, if someone does is interested in someone's listening and is interested in getting the best quality out of their videos, then look, I'd be more than happy to have a chat and sway you in the right direction. So feel free to get in contact.
That's probably a better idea than us trying to explain it on this CD of the month. So
for everything.
Yeah, because it would be good to have a setup, and I think that the best thing that you've said is really that get the setup that gets you using it, and that's the most important thing, and start doing some blog posting and start doing some video for your website because it really gets people engaged.
And the first video you do isn't going to be great. It's just a fact, but you just by doing them and by practicing, they're going to get better. You're going to get more comfortable on camera, and at the end of the day, there's such huge advantage to them. It's pretty mad not to be doing it these days.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about the teleprompters, we've talked about cameras, we've talked about the sound. We've talked a little bit about lighting, but again, there are some really simple mistakes that I see people make that you would think that that they wouldn't make these mistakes, but like you said, what a lot of people will do is have a window with no curtains on it right behind them, and the camera looking out the window, and they look like a subject being interviewed by the FBI. They're all blacked out, and you can't actually see them. What are a couple of little ideas just for simple lighting rigs? You've talked about natural light through the window. What else can we do just to make it look that little bit more professional?
Yeah, look, the easiest thing is to head down to Bunnings, head down to Setnag, any of these places that sell lights, and buy yourself a couple of lamps. I mean, the desk lamps, our setup at home, I mean, I've got, you know, a $4,000 professional lighting kit, but for the videos that we put out, I don't use that because, to be honest, it's too annoying to set them up. And as you say, you know, you've got to actually use, you know, what's going to make you do the videos. So I've got two lamps at home that I just bought from, I think from Beacon Lighting in Hobart. And
so this is like a desk lamp, is it?
Yeah, I know, two stands, you know, two corner lamps that will basically, you know, sit on their own stands, and I just put them on either side of me. I get two bulbs, which I made sure that the bulbs were daylight color, and what, you know, there's easily find on Google a bit of detail about what exactly that means, but basically you're looking for the color temperature, you know, whether or not a bulb is going to, you know, have a warm hue to it or a cool hue to it. And you just want something that's going to, you know, make your skin look nice and natural. So you look for a daylight sort of color bulb. That's very simple. And then behind you, you know, I have a third little lamp which I shoot onto the wall behind me, and you know, I've even gone as far as to turn around and have a lamp that shoots back onto the, you know, onto the back of your head, which gives you a nice little sort of ring of light, you know, around your
halo.
Hair. So look, a halo, exactly right. And that doesn't, you know, that's not even a necessity. That's just if you want to, you know, if you want to play around and try to get the best results possible. But realistically, a simple lighting setup like that, I've actually advised a lot of people on doing that at their desk. So, you know, they've got the computer and they've got a couple of desk lamps which are set up like that. It means they can flick on the lamps, you know, turn on their computer and still know that they're going to be well lit, and that they're going to have, you know, a much better video than the alternative, as you say, if you had a window behind you and you don't light yourself, because that's going to be the most important thing from lighting, really. Excellent. Make sure there's light on your face.
So we've talked about camera, we've talked about script, we've talked about sound, and we've talked about lighting. What can we glean from you in relation to editing? Because that's where I think people are going to get a bit worried, a bit concerned, is, you know, okay, I can go and shoot the video, but then how do I edit it? And how hard is it?
Look, it's super easy nowadays because of things like iMovie, you know, or I'm sure there's Windows Movie Maker, you know, on the PC side of things. We use a program called Final Cut Pro X, which is, you know, used to be hugely expensive, and, you know, Apple being Apple have now brought it down. I think you can buy that for about $300, but you don't even need to go that far.
$319.90.
There you go. And I mean, it's fantastic. It's professional quality, and it has a whole bunch of, you know, things that realistically you probably don't need for these sort of videos, but that is an option. But you go for something like iMovie, which is, you know, around the $20 mark, $30 mark, I think, and that is going to edit your HD video, allow you to have titles and have, you know, do a mix of the audio so that you can make sure that you're, you know, putting the best quality product out there at the end. And, you know, and just super easy to use. And that's the main thing, is it's simple, and it's sort of it's pretty much foolproof, I think. And, you know, something like that, I know a lot of people who are editing most of their videos on something like iMovie. So that's what I'd suggest, you know, starting there. And then if you decide you need to move up a bit, you know, do that down the track.
Yeah. Should you put music on a video?
Well, I personally think that music, I mean, again, it depends on your message. It would be work out what your message is and what, you know, what you need to say, and then work out the best way to get that across. And if you decide that, we tend to put music on most of our videos because the right music can really help with the emotions that you're trying to get across. If you're, you know, doing a fun video, you know, it's going to help sort of really set the mood, you know, from the first second of the video. It's going to help set the mood of the video. But then there might be times when the subject matter that you're talking about just needs to be you talking directly to camera, because, you know, it's that serious. And you know, why would you distract someone with music? But yeah, for the most part, we do use music because we like to use it as a tool to help drive along the story.
Cool. So how hard is it to, once we've got our video, we've edited it and edited our mistakes out, we've maybe put a bit of music on it so it sounds good and evokes the emotion, how do I get it onto my blog or my website or YouTube? How do I do it?
Well, look, the simplest thing with all of these programs I'm talking about, with iMovie and Final Cut, and I'm sure Windows do the same, but is that most of these programs nowadays actually have an export to YouTube option, you know, or an export to Vimeo option or something like that. So the simplest way to do it is make sure that you have a YouTube account set up, and you can do that. Anybody who uses Gmail for their mail, you know, already has one, even if they don't know it. Otherwise, just go to YouTube and sign up. You just enter your details in that in iMovie or whatever program you're using, and it will actually export the video and upload it to YouTube itself. So that's the simplest way of doing it. If you wanted to export the video, you know, depending on the program you're using, you're going to have a bunch of options like export for web or export for YouTube, things like that. And that will just create a video file that's on your computer wherever you decide to save it. And from there, you can either upload it manually to something like YouTube, or you know, you can go down the path of doing what we like to do is, you know, use a hosting service like Wistia, which is basically like YouTube. It plays videos, but it gives you a whole range of options of what you can do with that video. When you embed a video through Wistia, you can do things like have a turnstile email capture. So, you know, you get to a certain point in the video, and if they want to watch the rest of it, they put in their details. That's a fantastic lead capture, lead generator. You know, tool, or, you know, you can get a range of analytics on your videos. Wistia have a very sort of in-depth and easy to understand analytics side to their videos. So you can tell where people are losing interest, where they're, what they're watching the most, what they're re-watching, and, you know, what their action is once they finish watching, whether they're actually, you know, taking advantage of your video and clicking on the button that you ask them to, or filling out the form that you ask them to. So, yeah, depending on where you want to host it, and again, you've just got to work out exactly what you want to do with that video and you know, what the goal is. And once you work that out, work out where you want to host it. And from there, you know, it's really simple to get it out of your editing program.
Cool. So I think we've kind of covered pretty much all of the basics about video. And what I'm really hoping to do by talking to both yourself and Matt with our last conversation, is to help people understand that, number one, video is where it's at the moment as far as your business communications, generating leads, warming up potential sales, staying in touch with your customers, having people being able to find you easily on the web and so on and so forth, as well as introducing people to you and your team. And that was something I was going to mention a little bit earlier, that the Wistia people, I think, do, is that they get their team involved in the videos as well. So that might be something to think about. But getting people understanding how important it is to start to use video to run their business and grow their business. And the purpose of talking to you today, Ben, was to really dispel the myth about how hard it is. It is really super easy. We're talking about the blog video that I just did and sent out today. You know, I literally stuck my $170 camera on a stump on the beach, paddled in, spoke in front of the camera, walked away, paddled away. There's the video. That whole thing from concept to being uploaded on the internet, finished, edited, music, the whole box and dice took me about 40 minutes. And most of that was paddling from where I live to the beach where I shot it and back again. So I got some really good
and
exercise.
And drying yourself off after you.
No, I didn't fall off, mate. I'm an expert on that stand-up paddle.
You're right. You're dead right, though. I mean, the hardest thing is doing it the first time. And from there, it just gets easier. So if you can just get over it and do it that first time, then you know, you're most of the way there.
So where can the people, if they've got any little questions for you, is there somewhere that they can email your questions? Where can they go to have a look at what you do, the type of explainer videos that you guys do? Because, and I said this when I was talking to Matt, every time I see one of your videos, I'm blown away with it. Like, it is world class. There is, I don't think there's anyone around that does better videos in the world than you guys, which, you know, you might think that's a big rap, but I'm just being absolutely honest. And I look at a lot of videos, and as far as engaging and, you know, some of the testimonials I've seen from some of your customers, they just rave about how fantastic your explainer videos have been for their business. And so there is a little bit more to creating a video than just the technical side of it, which we've covered today. But it's getting the script right, your message right, nailing who you're talking to, the niche, what problem you're solving, all of that sort of stuff, giving them clear directions as to what to do next, so on and so forth. That comes out in the planning. So I'd like for people to be able to see what you do, where can they go, and how can they get in touch with you if they've got a technical question, perhaps.
No worries. Yeah, well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you to say, Mick. Our website is simple. It's www.explainervideos.com.au. You can obviously contact us directly through the website or just email me. It's Ben, B-E-N, at explainervideos.com.au. And as I said before, I'd be happy to chat about anything, whether it's setting up a system for yourself to be able to start with video, or perhaps going up to the next level and having an animated video done for your business or service. Happy to have a chat. So yeah,
I know what you'd be happy to talk to people about is remote control helicopters with cameras on them. That's what you'd be happy to talk to people about.
My nerdy passion.
It's absolutely unbelievable. For the people in Tasmania, and there's an advertisement on telly. That was UTAS, wasn't it?
That's right.
The University of Tasmania, and there's this wonderful shot where the lady is talking and she walks out to the edge of a balcony sort of thing, and the shot just disappears up into the sky, way up into the sky, and that was shot by Ben and his amazing remote control helicopter with a camera hanging off the bottom of it.
Let's just say I've lost a few. Actually, one of my earliest...
Oh, you got to tell that story before we go. That is hilarious.
Well, our office, of course, is a floating office, which has been down at King's Pier for a long time. And when one of the large ships was in and was about to head out, I attached a little camera to the bottom of my drone and was getting some wonderful shots that I thought, Tasports or someone like that, tourism would love this sort of thing. And then in front of a crowd of about 5,000 Tasmanians watching the ship go out, I don't know what quite went wrong, but it took a swan dive straight down into the depths of the Derwent. So, it's down there with Davy Jones' locker as we speak. I've gone through a few incarnations, but, our latest aerial effort is a much bigger and better, drone, which essentially lands itself now. So it's pretty much Ben-proof or idiot-proof.
Does it float?
Let's say. Yeah, I haven't quite tested that one. And I don't plan on doing that anytime soon.
Not getting out over the water with this one.
No, not yet. A bit more practice.
Oh dear, that was funny. I remember the day you told me.
Funny to everyone else.
Yeah. Seeing your camera and your helicopter disappearing under the waves.
That's right.
Did you get a round of applause from the people watching? Or?
Oh, I just got a collective, ooh, as it hit the water. And I, of course, there's nothing I could do, but I just turned around, walked back into the boat and sat down, quietly wet to myself for a bit. So I think everyone was looking at me. Is he going to go get this thing?
Expecting you to come out with your scuba diving gear. Yeah. You just never showed up. No. Oh, dear. That's funny.
That's all right. You've got to break a few eggs, as I say.
Yes. So. I'll just wipe the tears from my eyes and get on with the clothes. So we're out of time. It's been a great fun conversation. It's been full of terrific information. And as I said, folks, I really hope that we've done the trick with these last couple of CDs to at least with this one to show you that it's not that difficult. It can be done. You can do it with very, very basic equipment that you've already got and pull out a pretty high quality thing. So if you've got any questions, get a hold of Ben at Explainer Videos. So it's videos, not video, videos with the s.com.au. Definitely go to explainervideos.com.au to have a look at what Ben and Matt produce, because, as I said, it's just world-class stuff. Thank you very much, Ben, for putting the time aside to talk to us all this afternoon.
My pleasure, Mick. Thank you very much for having me.
And, folks, that's it for this CD of the month. Hope it was valuable, and we'll talk to you again next time on Uncover Hidden Profits CD of the Month. Bye for now.